All right. I want to share with you here the message I want to share with you here. When disaster strikes, okay? For the whole week, I kept thinking about the typhoon that took place in November 8th of this year in some of the island there. What happened? Is there something that you and I need to ponder about? When the disaster strike, when the typhoon hit your home, what happened? As of yesterday, as a report CNN told us that almost 4,000 people died in the last week. And there's still more than 100,000 people is missing. They still try to look for that. Out of all that mess, all the typhoon happened, 9 million have been affected. 9 million. This is the whole city of Los Angeles here. 9 million. 44 provinces and 55 cities. 2 million displaced. This means you live here, now you have to find another place to live. Your home is no longer exists. Not on the map anymore. You cannot Google to find your home anymore. No longer. 400,000 live in the shelter in the evacuation center. That means you live in a bunk bed, that's it. With other thousand and hundred thousand other people. Yeah, I know when I was evacuated out of Vietnam, we lived in the bunk bed. You know, you live only 1 month. They said, man, this is terrible. You just so many people crowded in one place. You know, it's not enough bathroom for everyone, not enough shower for everyone. And so here, 400,000 are crowded in these evacuation centers. Now, what is on their mind? You and I should know what is on their mind immediately. What's on their mind now? If you in that place, what's in your mind? Where's the food the next day? Where's water? And above all that, where's God? Where's God in all this? Why has this happened to me? If I'm Christian, why has it happened to me? When God said, follow him and everything be fine, why has it happened? And so if you and I tap into their brain wave, you know, if you will, understand where they're crying, because one of these days you will have the same cry. Because the Bible tells me disaster will come to this whole earth that you and I never experienced before. Maybe this is a little taste and you and I will need to go through to ready for tomorrow. If the lesson God allow happen, and if you don't learn the lesson, that is the waste. Is there a lesson we can draw from this? Tsunami in Asia in 2004, you remember that? 100,000 people died. Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Cyclone in Myanmar, 2008. Earthquake in Haiti, more than 200,000 people died in 2010. And here again, a typhoon that is goes almost like 200 miles per hour. I bet you I cannot drive that fast either. 200 miles per hour. You cannot run away. I don't care how fast you can run, you cannot run away. There's something. But always the case that always there's warning. It doesn't matter 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days. There's some warning, and some people have escaped. If they would not escape at that time, I'm sure more people would have died. But some people heard the warning, and they escape. Others have heard the warning, but decided to stay put and still think we have time. But other people have not heard the warning. Three type of people in the world today. You and I will be one of those three. You heard the warning, or are you going to run? Or you heard the warning, or you decide to stay to make good things out of it, or you have not heard the warning, my friend. That's the thing you and I need to understand. When Jesus Christ said, I will come back, that's a warning. Some people accept it and follow Christ. Other people say, what? I still have time. I don't have to repent right now. I still have a good life to live. But other people still have not heard the warning. Other people have not heard about Jesus Christ. My friend, you and I sit in this church. live in this country, we heard the warning. But other people outside have not heard the warning. They heard briefly, but they don't see, they understand how disaster will happen on this earth. If you read the book of Revelation, the warning is so amazing that you cannot walk away from it. You have to follow. You have to read closely, that you have to trace your footsteps. You got to run. And so the question is this here this morning, why did it happen? Question number one, did God cause it? Any disaster, does God cause it? What do you think? Yes or no? Yeah? You think so? I mean, when you are a Christian, you say, God caused that? People will say, and that's a God you serve? A God you serve that's willing to kill people? And that's hard. How will you take that? I cannot take it very well. What do you think? Your God will kill some people? When the law says thou shalt not kill? Come on now, what kind of God you serve? My friend, a lot of things we don't know. We don't know. But I trust on the Bible because the Bible gives me hope. And you and I will let turn to the pages that let to find out what happened. Turn with me in the book of Genesis chapter 6. The greatest disaster ever took place. The greatest disaster ever recorded in human race. Genesis chapter 6. You got to have the Bible. You got to read this for your own, because it's amazing. Remember, this is the thing here. Genesis chapter 6. This is remember the flood here. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. He was crying, all these men. Why? For the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, creeping things or birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I have made them. That means all these people are so wicked. They decide to go against God. They decide even try to be like God. You see? I mean, it's not a normal thing for you and I just live and work today. No, these are the people who are so wicked. They will kill anyone for anything for no reason. That's how wicked people. And so God, very sorry, why can God make perfect men and now they are so deceived by the devil will do something opposite what God taught. So God have come and visit and God decided to give the warning. If you repent, you'll be saved. If you believe in God, you shall be saved. You heard about that? That is keep ringing back from Genesis to the book Revelation even today. Verse 11 to 13 of chapter 6 of Genesis, 11 to 13 say, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now today, is this earth filled with violence? Yeah? I mean, people willing to make any kind of a missile or kind of bomb or kill someone for the sake of, I want to get that land. This world, matter of fact, I'm telling you, the Bible says this world even more corrupted back then, even more than back then. If God destroyed the people back then, God should destroy now because we are so corrupt. People willing, willing to take lives. That's not fair to take someone else's life. You heard about people who have a bomb in their body, right? And you go to a place with crowded and you just pour the blood and you kill hundreds of people. Matter of fact, the mind of people are so evil. The thing is something worse. When you go into an airplane, you walk into some type of sensor that can catch you have something, right? Why they start create something? Have you heard about the news? That they create something that people couldn't even find out. That they put poison in the body, okay? And when they walk into the sensor, they won't see poison. You go in the plane and you bite some type of candy, if you will, that chemical would trigger the poison in the body, would explode that body and kill other people. You know what I'm talking about? Some weird research came out that no way you can detect. I heard another one. You wear a jacket, right? And this jacket is wet. And when you go to the machine, they say, oh, just a wet jacket, no problem. But when this jacket dry up, will be explode. That's the type of research they're doing right now. That's how evil people today, they're willing to kill other people for the sake of nothing. And so people back then are so violent. Verse 12, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupt their way on the earth. How many flesh corrupt? All. Now, would God kill someone, destroy someone, they're not corrupt? No. God said, all of them corrupt. Every single one of them. Not even one left. And for God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them for with the earth. God destroyed everything. Now, think about it. If God wouldn't destroy, we destroy ourselves. You know? God don't have to destroy. We start very destructive. We destroy each other. And so God said, you got to stop all this. But before he stopped, before he say, I will send rain come down this earth, what happened? He sent a warning. Do you believe God sent warning? Now, this case, God sent a warning for how long? How many people? No. How long? 120 years. Is that a long time? Tracy, is that a long time? That's a long time. Just like, think about this. I preach you a warning, same warning over and over again for 120 years. Maybe first time a lot of people will come and listen. After a few years, 10, 20, 30, 120 years, by that time everyone left the room. No one here, I want to hear the warning. They say, no, there's no rain. I never see rain. And how can be rain and cover the earth? You see, a lot of times we think about human reason. You know what I'm saying? Human reason. They say, could not happen. Could not happen. And so when we think human reason, that's mean you say, God, what you say is a lie. Couldn't happen. But you know, we are finite. God is infinite. What God say is true. You and I should take God's word for it. Instead of trying to reason, could not happen. How can the word that rain then fill the earth? I never could see that. You and I never lived long enough to see all that, right? We should take God's word for it. Now, verse 17. Verse 17 says this, and behold, I myself am bringing the flood of water on the earth to destroy from under the earth all flesh in which is beneath in the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. Did everyone die except 8 people in the ark? Only 8 people. Only 8 people listened to that warning. I wonder how many people will survive at the last warning of this earth history. Now, who did God cause this? Did God cause it? Yes or no? Yes. Now, the Bible recorded, and that's what we as Christians, we know God caused it. Now, before you jump to the conclusion and say God's so mean, you got to listen to a few more stories, a few more illustrations. Look with me in the book of Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and became their sin is very grievous. That means they are so sinful, you can't even want to touch it or talk about it. Now, God wants to save the world. He destroyed one time. I don't want to destroy again. But he wants to find out, is it really true? And so he decided to come down here and take a look at it. Look at me with me in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25. 19, verse 24 and 25. Okay, before we go into verse 24 and 25, God sent down the angel and tried to see for himself how wicked the city. And so he sinned, but he talked with Abraham and tried to tell that's what happened. And Abraham tried to negotiate with God, said, do not destroy the city, because his nephew is still in there in that city. And so the two angels decided to go to that city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and try to warn the people. That very night, the warning go out. Tomorrow morning, this city will burn up. And so that's what the warning. And so that message go out. And in the morning, what happened? Verse 24, and the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, this means everyone, men and beasts, and what grew on the ground. So that's what happened. God gave warning, and how many people came out of that? Four people came out, and only three survived. My friend, God, every time everything happened, God always gave warning. Now, this disaster has happened, is caused by God or no? Yes. Now, would you conclude all the disasters are caused by God? No. Let's look into the book of Job, Job chapter 1. Book of Job chapter 1, and we will find out. Okay? We're going to have a Bible text right to find out exactly why all these things are happening. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And we understand where the battles begin between good and evil. Job chapter 1, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan. Now here we're talking about here. The Lord and Satan have the conversation about Job. Okay? About what? About Job here. Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, and blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shun evil? This means, this person, Job, is a perfect man. Perfect from the day God created. No mingle with evil. Do not do anything wrong. Okay? And so Satan answered to the Lord, yes, I hear that. But does Job fear God for nothing? That means Job loves you because you protect him, right? I mean, he got to fear you for you to protect him. And so this answer, have you not? Verse 10, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on his side? Did you protect him, God? That's what Satan said. You have blessed and work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in his land. This means you bless him so much, how would he leave you? Think about that. Satan tried to challenge God. Verse 11, but now stretch your hand and touch all that he has, and he shall surely curse you to your face. That means if you took that away, he will betray you. Okay, that is a challenge question there. Verse 12, and so the Lord said to Satan, okay, I hear where you're coming from. Behold, that all that he has is in your power. Only do nothing to lay a hand on his person. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. That means, Satan, you can take everything away from him, but do not touch his soul. Okay, so what happened? Suddenly tornado come, typhoon come, kill all this animal, all the sheep and cow and everything. Suddenly, a hurricane came and collapsed all these buildings, all these homes, all of his children dead on the spot. And suddenly, he got sick. He never got sick before. Just think about it. Like just cancer, everything over, and he's going to die soon. Guess what? That's his disaster come. Now, let me ask you. If that disaster come hit Job's family, is it from God or from Satan? From Satan. So right there. So either for all the disaster happened is it from God or from Satan. You and I need to distinguish which one is from God. And do not blame. Most people blame everything from God. But Satan also this or that too. Why? Well, what's the difference? When God send a disaster come, He always give a warning. Always give a warning for people to repent. You can look at all the disaster thing, it's always a warning. The thing is, do you hear the warning or not? Some years ago, I lived in Pico Rivera. And I would wake 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still awake, either read the Bible or pray or something. I'm sure not video game. I don't like video game. And so suddenly I hear the dog bark. But it's weird bark. You know, when you hear a bark, that stranger come to your door is different. But a bark like afraid of something is different. Like a crying out. And here I heard one dog is barking and moaning, another dog, and all the street that I live by, all the neighborhood. I said, it's weird. 2 o'clock in the morning, I never heard that before. Half an hour later, an earthquake struck. And I say, how did these dogs know that early? I thought about maybe God give a warning. You see, God always give a warning, something big going to happen. Remember, if you read the story in history, in San Francisco, there's the biggest earthquake ever happened in 1916 or 1906, something like that. And Ellen G. White have a vision. They say that people need to run out of San Francisco, and she even don't think of how it could happen, you know. She couldn't believe herself. But when she heard the news, when she down in Southern California, she heard the news, the earthquake just struck San Francisco. So what I'm trying to tell you here, all the disasters come, God always give warning. Three type of people. You heard the warning, you take off. You heard the warning, you stay behind. Or you have not heard the warning. You're so busy with life that you don't hear the warning. Sometimes you're so busy, we can't hear the warning. But if from Satan, there's something behind it. There's no warning. But there's a lesson. There's a lesson behind it. Why? Because between God and Satan, you go ahead tempt Job, he will never leave me, never leave God. So that any warning, if there's no warning, that means the temptation come to test your faith. You understand? That's all the things happening. Let me show you something else. How did Job answer all this? Book of Job. With me here, verse 21. And he said, this is what Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job have everything. He probably, if he accumulated all the assets he have, he probably billionaire today. But when he lost every single dollar, he are poor, homeless, and he say, you know what? I'm still blessed. I still bless the name of the Lord. So that's a teacher as a lesson. What are you and I? I come to this country with an empty hand, and now I have something in my hand. I have a home to live and a car to drive. If I lose that, do I still praise God? My friend, that's a question you and I have to answer. Because that will determine how do you respond to the warning. Okay, how you respond to the warning by that answer. Why I'm saying that, three lessons I want you help you to pull out this. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, first lesson. Any disaster, you can hold this lesson to the stake here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is the first lesson from this typhoon or any disaster. If your heart is glued into all the possession and the asset that God gives you, then your heart will be there. That means the warning will come, but you don't want to leave. Right? If I pay my car off, it's my car. It's hard for me to leave a car behind. But if the bank owns the car, go ahead, bank, you can have that rented car. You see? So regardless you own or not own it, you got to determine my heart is fixed in heaven. You understand? This will help you to answer the question because the warning will come. The thing is, what are you determined with that? Are you willing to leave? Are you willing to leave everything behind? You know, I'm still searching for a story that even this typhoon happened. Because I always, most of the time, you find some story out of this disaster. That some people say, I heard the warning, but I decided to stay to do a few things and leave later. By the time it's too late. Always something like that. Always something like that. Okay, that's first lesson. Lesson number two, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. That's when all the disaster come, all the tornado, all the typhoon come, guess what? Will drive you to your need to find hope in Jesus Christ. You see that? This is the lesson. This is the warning for you and I. Any disaster come, drive us toward Jesus Christ. Why? You cannot hope anything. You will hope for someone come to rescue you. Guess what? They won't come. They try to rescue themselves. I remember, you remember 9/11? When the things happened in 9/11 and people cried out, help us, help us. And the firemen and the policemen will try to come help them and they heard some rumble, they run out of the building and not help other people. When the time comes, no one can help you but God. Don't look for firemen, don't look for policemen, don't look for some billionaire to help you. No. You have to look for God. So tribulation come, disaster come, where do you go? Go to God. If the warning come, if you don't come to find God yet, you and I are in trouble. You and I are in trouble. Because no one can help us beside God. Or someone just told me this morning, matter of fact, there's a church right on that island. It belongs to Seventh Day Adventist Church and still stands strong after the typhoon. What does that mean? That make me drive back into remember the book of Exodus. When disaster come to the land of Egypt, God people were saved because they have the mark on their forehead, you know, something like that, or the mark on the doorpost. If you belong to God, God will do everything to protect you. Okay? So a disaster come, if you don't have hope in God, you have in hope in nothing. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three. Turn with me in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. What is this pointing? This text pointing, when we see people are suffering, God says this, let us do good. Let us help them. See, disaster come to test your faith and I. Are we care enough to help our brother and sister? How much you have? How many shirts do you have on your body? They about have nothing. You come home, you have food. You come home, you have good drinking water. They have nothing. They are dying of thirsting, dying of hunger. God calling us to help. To help. Those are three lessons. I want to summarize. The first lesson is disaster come is to help us to focus on God and have hope in Him. Do not glue yourself into this world. Lesson number two, that we need to understand that when persecution come, tribulation come, that help us to build our character. Help us to stay strong. And point number three is that you learn, you and I need to learn to help others. What can we do, the people of Philippines? Can we help them in some way? What can we do? Yes, ADRA is one of the entities of Seventh-day Adventist Church that exists right there. They come right there to help people. You can go on website, ADRA, A-D-R-A, see what you can help. Our conference here, that they ask anyone have any clothes, especially warm clothes, bring into the center of the conference the next couple of days. We're going to ship in a big airplane to ship many container of clothes to Philippines. Those kind of things, respond to it. Because God calling us, those are our brothers and sisters. Extend our loving arm to other people. But more than that, share them about Jesus Christ, that they can have hope when Jesus comes, when Jesus Christ returns. Do you think that's a good three lesson that you can learn? My friend, rehearse those lessons. Because I'm afraid it might happen to our land here. It will happen. I don't want to say negative, but the Bible says it will come a day. The disaster hit this land that never happened before. I couldn't imagine. I want to prepare. Would you like to prepare for that? How many people want to prepare? Praise God. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Lord, the lesson we heard from this is just like a warning to us. Help us to prepare our heart for you. Help us to focus on you. And help us to not have any doubt that you have forsaken us. Lord, I know you take us, you take care of us. Whatever might happen, we still praise you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.